Welcome to the Let's Kill It podcast. I'm Janice T, former corporate dropout turned full-time entrepreneur, creator, and lifelong learner. Every single week, I bring you mindset hacks and personal growth tips inspired by real stories and experiences. So if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, online content creator, or someone who is really looking to grow your business or career and level up your life, well, you're in the right place. Thanks for spending some time with me today, and let the good stuff begin. How do you develop a piping hot audience? This is a question that I think is quite perennial throughout the changes in social media, especially now in 2024, where people are asking, right? Like, the algorithm is changing all the time. The platforms are changing seemingly every other week. There are new updates. People are talking about, you know, that do certain formats work on these platforms or not? All of these questions and more. This is what today's flash episode is going to be for. I say flash because I'm going to keep it short, concise, and punchy. And also, I want to make sure that you guys get actionable tips that you can take right away after this episode and really implement on it, right? So today's episode is going to be about unexpected tips no one told you about in order for you to really build a hot audience. And the good news about this episode is this works on all platforms, be it LinkedIn, be it Instagram, be it TikTok, be it Facebook, even though I really wouldn't recommend Facebook right now because that's not a focus for Meta. But I want to talk about really unexpected tips, something that is quick, something that is easy that you can really implement to whatever structure or system that you have for yourself now when it comes to really marketing your business organically or really going from that branding perspective as well. So let's dive straight into it. And remember, just a pretext, that this is platform agnostic, okay? So regardless if you're making short form videos, long form videos, you're doing text based, you're doing photo based, you're doing carousel, these are going to be things that are cross platform, and therefore these are going to be things that you're going to be able to implement very easily no matter what your current business model is and no matter what your current marketing platforms or channels are. So as a context, before I dive into the tips of the day, you really want to be asking yourself this one question. And this has to do with more of your perspective from a bird's eye view. So taking a step back and really taking this in from a macro perspective, you want to step out of your position, which is very natural as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and you really want to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer, your potential client, and your potential market. And you want to be asking yourself this one question, which is, if I were the audience, would I enjoy consuming this piece of content, or will I find it boring? Be super honest with yourself, because sometimes the truth hurts. But you know what? That's what makes us grow. That's what makes us move forward. When you keep doing the same thing that is clearly not working, you're not seeing engagement, you're not seeing the results you want, you're not seeing inquiries, but you refuse to go and look at what you bring to the table and you refuse to go and look at what could potentially be wrong, then that's what keeps you stuck there, right? So I want you to be really real and honest with yourself. And in fact, I want to come up with a mini exercise right now. I want you to go to wherever is your primary platform, right? So that could be LinkedIn, that could be Instagram, that could be TikTok, that could be whatever. I want you to go to your primary platform, look at the latest 3 to 5 posts that you've done. I want you to really take a minute, look at them, look at the picture, look at the video, look at the caption. And imagine you are someone who doesn't know you at all, right? So meaning, put yourself in the shoes of your audience who happened to just chance upon this piece of content. How would you rate it out of 10? You know, 1 being, this is so boring, this is not engaging at all. I want out versus like 10 being like, I'm hooked. This is so interesting. This is so different. It's giving me value, right? So I just want you to look at the latest 5 maybe and rate yourself 1 out of 10. Be really, really honest. And rate it based upon, would I enjoy myself consuming this piece of content, or will I find it boring / unengaging, right? And what you will find is that your score might not be as high as what you would ideally like it to be, right? If you actually are listening to this episode and you actually are doing this exercise right now, I would really love for you to drop me a direct message on any of the platforms that I'm available at. You can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, pretty much anywhere online. And let me know what your results are, because a lot of time when we do these periodic checkpoints, we tend to shock ourselves with how, you know, I don't want to say bad, but actually, yes, how bad our content actually is. Because sometimes you just lose this evaluation checkpoints and you don't really, you know, improve your content. And imagine you have been at the same level for the past 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, even 2 years. That is pretty scary. And so it is scary to face the truth, but it is scarier to stay stuck at the same point. I mean, at least in my world, I find it scarier to be stuck at the same point. So you really want to take a pause and rate yourself. And you know, if you get less than 25 out of 50, because you know, when you rate 5 photos out of 10, 50 is the maximum, then you know that there's a lot of work that you need to do, which is fine. You know, I'm not saying that as a disaster, and this is on your own scale, right? Like a 9 to you might be different to from a 9 of someone else. So I just want you to rate this on your own scale of, would I personally enjoy consuming this piece of content, or will I find it boring? And you might get 25, you might get more than 35, but I'm quite sure that none of you are really going to be close to the 50 mark, right? And so that's okay, but you really want to ask yourself, like, if I rate something a 6 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10, what is the 4 that is missing? What is the 3 that is missing? Oh, maybe the hook is not really making me want to watch, or maybe there's no CTA, like I don't even know where I should go after this, or maybe it's interesting but I didn't really learn anything new, so it's pure entertainment value and shows no credibility. This gap is where you can really start to analyze, like, what is wrong, right? And when you are able to put yourself in a space where you're open and ready to really look at the gaps of what is missing, not to discount that, you know, you still got 6 or 7 out of 10, and those are all good things that you definitely want to keep. But when you look at the 3 to 4 that is missing, that's what helps you grow as a business owner when you critically reevaluate, or as a content creator, if you see yourself more as a content creator, right? Like, how can I improve the stuff that I put out there? Okay, so that's the first base exercise that I really want you to do. This will give you a checkpoint as to, do I even think my stuff is good? Because if you think that your stuff is bad, then, you know, why would anyone else think that is great, right? So this exercise is really going to help you give yourself sort of a reality check, but not in a negative way where you beat yourself up, more in a positive way where you're like, how can I then improve from here? The next thing that I really want to talk about is 3 points that, or rather 3, you know, sort of points of consideration that you can think about incorporating into your current content. So I'm not saying reinvent the wheel. I'm not saying redo everything, like tear down your whole entire content creation process. But I really want you to incorporate these elements, because these 3 elements that I'm about to share with you, universally, they work. Universally, people are hooked by them. It's a human behavioral thing. It's a consumer psychology thing, right? So if you're not already implementing these, then I suggest you get started on 1 or more. If you are already, then that's awesome. Keep doing it. So without further ado, I want to dive into them. The first point that I want to share is that you want to be telling stories. People may not remember your name even. They may not remember your handle. They may not remember your username, but what they will remember is 100% your story, right? There was once someone who started this and said in eighth grade, someone spilled tomatoes from their lunchbox all over my face and my white uniform was tainted. It was the most mortifying moment of my life. And honestly, I think I must have heard this like maybe when I was 10 or 11 when I was living internationally, and it might even have been in Sunday school or something that I heard this. And I don't even remember the face of the boy who told this story, but I remember it was a boy and I remember his story. And I honestly have no idea like how old this person is, what his face is. I don't even remember his name, but I remember the story. And this is what the power of storytelling is. Like, it doesn't matter if you're 7 or 17 or 70, people love listening to stories. So you want to be telling them, right? And so one of the very, very common questions that I get when it comes to storytelling is, I don't know, but Janice, I don't know how to tell a story. And also, my life is not that interesting. It's not like, you know, I went on a solo expedition and then I had a near-death experience. And then from that moment, like, it changed my life. No, like, that's not the majority of our stories, right? And sometimes you don't need really dramatic stories like that. I mean, when you go through something major in life, of course, it's going to be a pivotal moment for you. Of course, it's going to be a turning point. Of course, it's going to be change. But stories don't have to be, you know, that big, that dramatic, or that major. It can just be a story of, you know, like, you went to your favorite Chinese noodle place the other day, and as it was closing, you realized that the person that's working there, they're always smiling even though it's so late. They're always smiling even though they're so tired, and they're working a really difficult job with long hours. There's always a line, and like, how do they keep that sparkle in their eye? And you have a conversation with them and they're like, oh, this is my mindset towards life, and they gave you you know, an extra topping on your order. Like, that could be the story as well. So you can find stories in these little moments. And you know what? It is so much more relatable than actually a major life event, because not all of us have major life events, but all of us do have micro encounters with people, with strangers, with friends. You know, there are so many little moments in our lives that we just gloss over. And this is sometimes the power of really being able to slow down, not just in business, but in the way that you approach life as well, to be able to really pull out the magic of these little things that happen, right? And sometimes it doesn't even involve people, is what I want to say about stories. Sometimes it's just you know, doing spring cleaning, and then you discover something that you haven't seen in a while, and it takes you back to that moment. That could be a story. So a thing that I want to say when it pertains to storytelling is also that, you know, it could be your personal story, right? Which can be a big story, or it can be a micro encounter, right? But it doesn't have to be your story either. You can also tell someone else's story. Like, if you know of an acquaintance who has gone through something, obviously you want to get their permission, and obviously you want to be mindful that these stories might be really personal, and you want to, you know, change the names to your, and maybe take out certain details to protect people's privacy, right? And you definitely want to ask them if you are able to tell these stories. But you're also able to tell someone else's story. If you didn't go through it yourself, but someone that you know has gone through something that you feel is valuable to share after asking for permission and doing your due diligence when it comes to privacy, like, you tell a story of someone else as well that has happened in real life, maybe not to you, but to someone else, right? So that's the second way of telling stories. And the third way of telling stories is that it could actually also be fictional, right? Like, you could have, you know, a story that you remember from your childhood that somehow really stuck very close to you, right? Like, for me, when I was a kid, one of the stories that has always stuck out is the story of actually the ugly duckling. Like, I don't know why I just remember this story, but I remember him thinking like, oh, I don't fit in. you know, I look so different from all my peers. Like, I must be really ugly. I'm not good enough. And then, you know, obviously, as the story goes, he later turned out to be a beautiful soul. And I think that's just something that really stuck with me, right? And it's something that you can bring to the table and relate that to, you know, your current business, your point that you want to talk about, right? So I could relate that to being a new entrepreneur. You're full of self-doubt. You are not in a 9-to-5. Everyone around you is in a corporate job. And you might be thinking that you're falling behind when there's actually something really, really beautiful in front of you ahead of your journey, right? So my third point being that the story can actually be entirely fictional, but then you take the essence of that story and you take that essence of the lesson and you kind of really bring it forward to a point that you want to be making. Right? So it could be your story, it could be someone else's story in real life, or it could be entirely fictional, right? And you want to still be telling them regardless of which type of story you choose to tell, because people love stories. This is what sticks in people's minds. And honestly, I don't even really know who wrote the story of the ugly duckling, but that's what I remember. Right? So point number one that you want to incorporate if you aren't already in your content to really get people hooked, get people mesmerized, get people to engage, get people to really find your content engaging and really build that hot audience from there is to tell stories. Number two, you want to incorporate sharing your failures. And, you know, for me, I always say this and I will always say this, that failure is not in your way to success. Failure means that you're on your way to success. And literally, don't take it from me. Take it from anyone who is successful, from an NBA player to a Grammy Award winner to an Oscars Award winner, whoever it is that you really respect and admire, whoever is at the top of their game in their field right now, they're always going to say, oh, I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed so many times and eventually I succeeded, right? Because I didn't give up on the course. I didn't give up on the journey. When I'm tired, I take a pause. I don't give up. And so sharing your failures, when I say this, a lot of people have a gut reaction of like, oh, what if I lose respect from people? Or like, what if that makes people see me in a bad light? What if everyone else is just posting their highlight reel and now like no one relates to me? When in reality, it's quite the opposite. In reality, when you share your failures, people can connect to you. When you share your failures, people can relate to you, because guess what? Like, when you are perfect, you are no longer relatable. And when you're no longer relatable, you're also, by the way, no longer fully honest either, right? Like, let's be real here. There's no 100% smooth journey. And so when all you do is share about your wins, share about your celebrations, share about how great things are going, yes, that is great. And you might get respect and admiration from people, but you don't get that point of relatability and connection, which is so important when it comes to really nurturing and building a bond and really warming up your audience and building an actual relationship with your online community, right? So part of this also is, there's nothing wrong, by the way, with celebrating wins, celebrating milestones, and I'm a huge proponent of that. I'm like, if you're doing great, shout it out to the rooftops, right? Because you deserve it, and the world deserves to know how awesome your product or service or offer is. But something that you might want to consider incorporating into your current content strategy is that when you want to share about these milestones, like, you didn't get there overnight, right? It's not like you started your business on day one and on day two, like, wow, you hit six figures, for example. So you really want to share a little bit more about what it took you to get there and sort of the right moves that you made, but also the wrong moves that you made that eventually still added up to get you to where you really wanted it to be. So that's definitely something that you want to be thinking about. How can I incorporate the ups and the downs of my journey, even if the current endpoint that I want to share is up, right? And also pertaining to failures, something that I personally abide by when I decide, okay, do I want to share this or not, is I always share things that I've already processed, right? So if there's something difficult, and there's always highs and lows in a business, I don't share it as I'm going through it. I share it after I've gone through it, after I've processed it. And I can really look at this from a calm, balanced, and neutral place and be like, okay, in that moment, this is how it felt. This is all the shitty feelings and horrible thoughts that I had. But then how did I work through them, right? And I'm able to really talk about them in a way that it's more balanced. And also, more importantly, I'm able to then talk about them in a way that is beneficial and conducive for the audience who is receiving it to actually benefit from this, right? Because you also don't want to end up in a place where you're like, life sucks, the business sucks, like everything is wrong. Like, how is that going to be beneficial to your audience? It's not, right? So while you want to share and incorporate your failures and imperfections and the down parts of the journey, you also want to make sure that at the end of the day, you're talking about this from a neutral point of view, right? And you don't find yourself ranting. And just going back to point zero again, if I were the audience, right? You want to put yourself in the shoes of the receiver and be like, how can I actually make this conducive and beneficial and value adding to the audience? But when you do it right, this can really build a really strong bond, create conversations, open up proximity to your audience, and definitely create a warmer community and a warmer online market for you as well. So that's the second point I wanted to mention. Now, the third thing I want to talk about is about how you can incorporate sharing exactly how you can provide value to your audience in a genuine way. So, apart from sharing stories, apart from sharing your failures, you also want to not only be seen as a person that people can connect with, which is so, so important and which a lot of people miss out, but you also want to be seen as a subject matter expert, right? You want to be seen as having domain expertise. You want to be seen as having authority and credibility within your area. So you want to be really thinking, how can I then give this value and establish my subject matter expertise to my audience in an interesting and genuine way, but that still increases my credibility level, right? Not just curiosity with the stories and failures, but also my credibility level as a professional, as a specialist, as a subject matter expert. And so the first thought that I want you to be thinking about is, are you even creating the type of content that you would be impressed by if you were your audience, right? So if you're doing authority, edutainment, or educational type content, you want to be asking, like, yes, I am doing that, but if, again, I put myself in the shoes of my audience, like if I were them, would I be impressed by it? Would I feel wowed by it? Would I feel intrigued by it? Would I feel mind blown by it? And if your answer intuitively and instinctively is no, then you really want to be re-looking at the stuff you put out. Because remember, whatever that you put out, it's sort of like a trailer to a movie, right? And so if I watch a really bad trailer, would I then pay for the movie? The answer is obviously no, right? So what is then, you want to take a good hard look again at your content and be like, when I share educational content, when I share content pertaining to my subject matter expertise, like, is it boring? Is it like actually really informative, but it's just boring? Or is it very entertaining, but doesn't really give much substance? Or what is wrong with it? What do I feel like is missing? If I were to just take my emotions out of it, take the attachment out of it, and really view it from an external third-party perspective, what is actually wrong with it? And from there, you should have things that stand out to you immediately. And from there, that's where you can really start actually improving things, right? So you really want to make sure from this third point that yes, you are including content that, you know, really points towards the subject matter expertise, but also more than that, that you're presenting it in a way that's interesting and that is engaging for your audience in addition to value adding, right? So these are the three things that I would love for you to think about to incorporate if you aren't already. Again, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't feel like I need to tear down my entire quarterly and monthly structure, but just embed these into your current strategy, right? So tell stories, share your failures, and also think about how you can really give value pertaining to your domain expertise, your industry expertise, right? And then with regards to point zero, which I talked about, it's more of putting yourself in the lens of the audience, right? And really stepping out of your business owner and entrepreneurial shoes and really being neutral so that you can do an audit of the stuff that you're currently putting out. Especially if you find that something isn't working, when you keep doing the same thing that isn't working, that's not really the smartest way to go about it, right? So if you are in on the mini challenge, again, you might be, you know, here at the end of this episode. And if you are in on the mini challenge, really would love for you to do it. Let me know how you scored based out of 50. And, you know, I would love to see what your biggest takeaways are as well. Like I say, don't be a stranger. You can find me anywhere. Drop me a message. I love hearing from you guys. So again, you can find me on Instagram at janice.tee. That's janice.tee. Or you can find me on LinkedIn at janice.tee. And I will see you in the next one.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed creating it. And I hope it inspired you on your journey towards that next level in your business and life. Make sure to check out the description for show notes with a full rundown of all the juicy details and important links that you need. Also, make sure to share this with a friend if you found this useful and subscribe here on Spotify or Apple Podcast. It would genuinely mean the world to me to hear from you. So share a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast and let me know which part of this episode resonated with you the most. In case no one's told you lately, you are amazing and absolutely capable of creating the extraordinary life that you dream of and deserve. Now it's time to go up there, do the hard stuff, and let's kill it.